She will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
Well, so great to be here. Before I dive into our message for today, I just want to show you what one of these Sit With Me cards looks like. On one side, it just has Sit With Me and 9 or 10:30 a.m. And on the back, we've got information about our Christmas Eve services, which just as a reiteration, I'm going to read it real quick, are the 23rd at 6 p.m. and then the 24th at 2 or 4 p.m. And so would love for you to grab some of these. We bought 400 of these guys, and they will be no longer good as of Christmas Eve because of this. And so I would love it if you would take a few, if you would hand them out to your friends and family, because if you're a follower of Jesus, there is literally nothing more important, nothing more meaningful, nothing with higher stakes that you could ever do than try to introduce somebody to Jesus Christ, okay? And so this is an easy way to do that in conversation. You'd be like, hey, sit with me while we go and worship the Lord together. And so check those out. I have been gone for a couple of weeks, and it's so good to be back, I have to tell you. We were down in Texas. My family and I were visiting other family for the Thanksgiving holiday. We originally went down to my town that I'm from, Amarillo, Texas, which is nothing to write home about. It's a great town, but maybe not the prettiest town in the world if you've been there. But we went down to celebrate my stepmom's 70th birthday. And the trip was phenomenal beyond what I think I expected or my family expected. One particular thing was a bit unique. On the way down, we had texted one of my aunts that lives in Amarillo and said, hey, could we get together? Could we see you? My niece is just graduated from college last spring, and, you know, we'd just love to spend some time. And so Amanda, my wife, texted her. We didn't hear back for a few days. She called me on the way down while we were driving in Oklahoma, in fact. And she said, I know we want to see you guys, but we're not going to be able to because your other aunt, her name is Fifi, just passed away in Denver, Colorado. So we're going to go up to Denver, and we're going to see her. Get a call a few days later. Hey, they've decided they want to have the service back in Amarillo, bury her where the rest of her family is. Would you be willing to do the service, which I was honored to do? And my message in the sermon was very, very simple, was very, very straightforward. And the message was that God is not distant, that God is not far from you, that he's not some clockmaker that set the world in motion and then decided to step back and just see what happens, but he is intimately connected to the world that he's made. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, it says this, "The Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Not only is God interested, not distant, but God is among us. Today we're kicking off our Christmas series called God is with Us. It's our Advent series. And in this series, we're going to look at the four traditional Christmas Advent topics. And so we're talking about hope today. Next week, we're going to talk about peace and then joy on the 22nd. And then we're going to end on Christmas Eve by talking about love. But before we dive into that, I have a question for you. And I'd love it if you would tell me what you think about this, but why do you think it's significant that God is with us? Somebody tell me, why would you say it's significant that God is with us?
That he cares about us.
That's great. It proves he exists. That's a good answer too. Yeah. What else? Fulfills his promises, enhances our fellowship. Yep. Fantastic. Other answers. Couple more. Helps us stay on the right path. Yep. To save us. Good. Good, 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 good. I wrote a few down. Some of them are going to be overlapping kind of with what you've said. Why is it significant that God is with us? We live in a broken, fractured, anxiety-ridden world. The fact that God is with us means that we have the promise of comfort and assurance by God. Life is filled with challenges, both global challenges, wars, pandemics, famine. Personally, we have challenges with grief, mental health, financial instability, and yet the promise that God is with us brings us hope that he is always working for the good. Did you know that? That no matter what your situation looks like, God is working it out for good if you choose to follow him. Whether you know it now, whether you may never know why, he's always working for the good of his people. God is not distant and cold. We talked about that a few minutes ago. God being with us means that he's warm, that he's accessible, that he's available, that he wants to be with you. We don't have to live without guidance. God being with us means that as we approach life, we have an advocate who is there that helps us know right from wrong, that helps us say, here's what it means to follow God properly. And my favorite one is this one. My favorite one, okay? Our future is not bleak. Rather, we've been promised access to the kingdom of God. That someday when you close your eyes for the last time, all of your suffering, all of the pain, all of the difficulty will be over because you will be in the very presence of God Almighty. And so is it significant that God is with us? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so as we enter into the season of Advent, celebrating the arrival of Christ, we do so because God is with us. Today, as I said earlier, we're going to start by looking at the idea of hope, the first of the four Advent themes. And we're going to look at a story from Luke chapter 1. And so before we turn there, though, I want to pray, offer this time to the Lord. And so if you would bow with me. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the season. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of any and everything we go through, that you are on the throne and that you love us deeply. God, as we jump into your word this morning, as we learn, as we reflect, I pray that your spirit would be present in this place. I pray against distraction. I pray against mind wandering. And I pray, God, that rather we would see you and be transfixed by your beauty. God, I ask that the words that would come from me would not be my own, but rather would be your words that you would have to say to your people. Encourage us. Give us clarity. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bible, you can turn it to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, you have a couple of options. There's either a Bible in a seat back around you, or you can follow along on the screens to my left and to my right. We're going to read Luke 1, starting verse 26 through verse 30. Luke 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, it's important that we take a minute here and set a little bit of the background. And so we're going to start all the way at the very, 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 very beginning. We're going to summarize the entire Bible, and it can be done in three very simple words. Three very simple words. The whole Bible is about this: God, rescuing humans. Everything that you need to know generally is in that idea, that God chose to rescue humanity. Now let's break that down a little bit. God created the world. He created it perfect, without fault, without sin, without brokenness in it. The first humans chose the path of rebellion against God, creating a fracture in that relationship, one that from the third chapter of the Bible, all the way very at the beginning until now, God has been tirelessly working to fix. The story of Jesus is about that fix, the desire that God might be in relationship to us again. Now, at this point in where we are in the Bible, in the book of Luke, about 65% of the Bible has already happened. God has chosen a people, the Jewish people, and we've learned a lot about the whole story, about what humanity is like and what God is like through their experiences in what we call the Old Testament. And we've learned a couple of very important things. First of all, we've learned that humans, you and I, are helplessly doomed without God. Over and over and over, the Jewish people are told, this is the way you're supposed to live. They're given every opportunity, and at every single turn, they mess it up. Now, that's not just a Jewish problem. I'm not hating on Jewish people. That's a you and me problem, too. Without God, we are hopeless, and we are destined for destruction. Now, we also learn that God is in the business of redeeming people, of loving them, of choosing forgiveness. But lastly, we learn that something drastic needs to happen for God to complete his goal. Something has to change. And that leads us to this little story about a little couple having a little baby. So in this scene, we have an angel sent to a woman named Mary. The angel says to her, you are going to have a child. And there are a few things in this part of the story that are actually really strange, that are really odd, four to be specific. First of all, the presence of an angel is a little weird. How many of you could say honestly that you've seen an angel and talked to him in your life? I can't raise my hand to that. It's odd. It's out of character. It's not normal. So if you've never seen an angel, don't feel bad about it because it just doesn't happen that often, okay? An angel shows up. That's the first weird thing. What the angel says is also really strange. He says, you're going to have a child. And that's weird because Mary is unmarried. She's a virgin. Physiologically, kids don't happen in that setting. It's a little strange. The third thing, I thought this one was really interesting. The third thing that's strange is that Mary is told that she has found favor with God. Now, here's why that's strange. Mary is a poor, humble, somewhere between 12 and 16-year-old girl. If you were to ask somebody in that day, who's the kind of person that's going to find favor with God, it would have been the exact opposite of Mary. It would have been someone who is wealthy, who's accomplished, who's older, and generally, not right or wrong, just generally in the culture, it would have been men. And yet God completely turns the table and finds this lowly girl and says, you're the one that has favor with God. I love that so much because so often I think we get caught up in this idea that we've got to do great deeds for God, that we've got to be smart, that we've got to be accomplished or effective. But so often in the Bible, God looks at the heart of humility as the cause, as the reason, as the background for the people that he chooses to use. And so that's what we have in Mary. That's three strange things. We have a fourth one. This is three, that's four. We have a fourth one, And the fourth strange thing is where the whole meat and potatoes of our message is. It's where hope is found. Let's read it together, verses 31 to 33. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. The fourth strange thing is what Jesus is going to be. And it's very great, called the Son of the Most High. He's going to sit on the throne of David. He will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will endure forever. We're going to break those apart in a second, but the whole point of this message is this. The reason that we have hope in God is because he is the one in control. He's the one on the throne. He's the one making the calls. He is the one that knows every single moment. It's under his authority and his alone. That paired with God being good and being for you is a recipe for tremendous hope. Amen? Come on. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. I've been in Texas a while. I need a little more. A little more from you. Come on. It's a big deal. Every day you can wake up, take your head off the pillow, and smile because God has got you. God has got you. Now, let's take a closer look at this set of statements. I think there's some really cool stuff in here. So the first thing that the angel says about Jesus is that he's going to be very great. Now, this is odd because his parents are not that great. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad about Mary and Joseph, but they're ordinary people. They're like you and me. They're not famous. They're not princes and princesses. They're not in with Rome. They're just average Jane and Joe, and they're just trying to make their way in life. And yet from them is going to come someone who is very great. Again, I point to this beautiful truth that God uses very ordinary people for extraordinary things. But we find out further why Jesus will be great, and it's in the rest of that sentence. It says he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. At Gateway Church, we believe that Jesus is both human, but is far more than only human. He was a great teacher, great prophet, but he isn't just that. We believe that Jesus is God with us, that he's incarnate. And what that means is that God took on flesh in the person of Jesus, chose to dwell among us. So in that way, he's the Son of God, fully divine, fully human, Emmanuel, God with us. The second sentence says this, the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor, David. Now, let's just talk for a second about this guy, David. David was a king of Israel about 1,000 years before the time of Jesus, okay? And he was a great king. He had some incredible accomplishments, some military victory. One of the things that was noticed about David that was different about almost any other king was that he, the Bible describes, was a man after God's heart. He chased after the Lord. A big chunk of the Bible, the Psalms, if you're familiar, is David's writings, his poems and his songs about his relationship to God. And even though he had some really great times, it didn't distract him from his love for God. Even though he had some really hard times, it didn't discourage him away from following God. He, most of his life, certainly had his sin issues, he, most of his life, was focused firmly on the power and the presence of God as he knew him. And in 2 Samuel, this is what God says to him. Your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. That's a pretty incredible promise. Never is there going to be somebody that's going to usurp your throne permanently, because your throne will be secure for all time. And even though modern day political Israel doesn't have a king as we would understand it, Jesus is very much on the throne. Again, very much in control. You can lift your head from the pillow and be hopeful. It's pretty awesome. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. The last thing he said, which is really where I think the hope comes in for us, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Never will there be a time when God is not on the throne and in control. That means peace. That means justice. That means God's righteousness is going to win out in the end. And that's worthy of celebrating, people. That's worthy of being hopeful for in this season. That, my friends, is what hope is all about. Now, I want to just make a statement here. Hope's a finicky thing. And here's what I mean. Some of us walked into this room today very hopeful, and some of us did not. For some of us, hope has not been available for a very long time, if ever. Life is really hard, and it's very easy to be discouraged. Some of us might be lonely. Some of us might be depressed, filled with anxiety. Some of us might not have any direction in life. Some of us might be asking the question, why should I continue on? Who could love me? Some of us are sick, and the reality is that you might not get better. That's a real thing. Some of us are in a financial mess. Some of us have lost somebody recently. For some of us, it's just everywhere you look, every time you turn on the TV, all you see is just garbage, right? It's just garbage. And it can erode you. It can knock you down. It can remove the hope from you if you're not careful. But the beauty of the relationship that we have with God, if we choose to follow him, is that every single day you can know that he's on the throne. And so if you're lonely, step back and say, you know what? God loves me. God cares for me. If you're filled with anxiety, take a deep breath. God's in control. Your circumstances are going to get better. Maybe not now, maybe not soon, maybe not until you take your last breath, but you know what? I can guarantee you it will get better then. Guaranteed. Placing your trust in Jesus and following him is the key to hope. Hope is found in Jesus, God with us. Now, before we close our time, I want to offer one last thing for you. In the seat back around you, there are cards, and in one of them, there's a card that says, Let's Connect. And first of all, if you're new to Gateway, if you're just checking us out, we'd love for you to connect with us, and you can grab that, you can fill it out, you can put it in one of the black boxes. But in this season, as we consider Jesus, I want to recognize the idea that maybe not everybody in the room is in that place where you're following Jesus. There may be some of us in the room that have just not said yes to him. Maybe we've wanted to, maybe we've been curious, maybe somebody tricked us to come in here for the donuts. I mean, whatever, I don't know, maybe. Today would be a great day for you to say yes. And so what I want you to do, if you're in that place, is on the back of that card to write, I say yes. And then put your name and your contact information on the front. We're not going to spam you. We're not going to go crazy. But man, what a joy it would be to say yes to Jesus. Some of us have been running. And maybe today is the time to stop running. Some of us have been followers of Jesus for a long time, but maybe we've kind of drifted away. Maybe we're not really taking him seriously or the season seriously. Man, if that's you, take that card and on the back, write, "I'm back." Put your contact information and let's have a conversation. Because you know what? If you're far from Jesus, there's no better time to draw near than when God drew near to us. It's a great season to take a step. And so wherever you are, my prayer is that you would take that step today, that you would say yes to Jesus, to whatever it is he's doing in you, whatever he's calling you to. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for just the incredible opportunity that you have given us to know you. Thank you, Lord, for sending your son, Jesus, for allowing us to be a part of that story. Lord, I pray over my friends in the room. I pray that for those of us that have run from you, that we would stop running in Jesus' name. That today would be the day where either we make a first-time decision and we say yes to you, or Lord, we say, "I'm tired of running and it is time to come back to you." And so, Lord, in this moment, I just want to give you space to prick hearts. You have been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for drawing near to us. We couldn't draw near to you without you coming to us first. I pray that we would embrace hope, that our hope in you would be strong. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.